Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
It's an opportunity for rural Illinoisans and rural Americans to see, you know, really world-class exhibitions from the Smithsonian in their own backyards. The Illinois Freedom Project exhibition explores the history of Black Illinoisans' pursuit of civil rights and many obstacles and many struggles, as well as many victories that have taken place, you know, in that regard in Illinois. We typically think of Illinois as a free state, and you know, for the most part, it officially was. But there were enormous legal loopholes that enabled people to, you know, engage in very, very coercive indentured servitude. It was basically slavery in all but name.
I'm Sarah Fenske. When revolutionaries first established the United States of America, they declared that governments derive their powers from the consent of the governed. But that doesn't mean everyone got to opt in. We the people at first meant something very different than what it means today. It took nearly a century to expand American suffrage beyond white male landowners. That long journey and the questions addressed along it is the subject of a new museum exhibit. It's called Voices and Votes, Democracy in America. And thanks to the Smithsonian Institute, it's now on display in Edwardsville. And joining us today to explain how and why is Matt Meacham. He's the program manager and director of statewide engagement for Illinois Humanities. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sarah. It's great to be here.
So this exhibit that we'll talk about quite a bit today, this was curated by the Smithsonian. How did it end up in the Madison County Administration Building?
Well, it's part of a program called Museum on Main Street, which is a partnership between the Smithsonian Institution and the state humanities councils around the country, including Illinois Humanities and Missouri Humanities. And the way the program works is that the Smithsonian Institution creates traveling exhibitions on important themes in American culture, and about once every couple years, they invite us to organize a statewide tour of one of these exhibitions, and so we then invite small town organizations, museums, libraries, and so on, to apply to host the exhibition, and we select six of those applicants. And each one gets to host the exhibition for usually about 5 or 6 weeks. And so that makes for a statewide tour of about 7 or 8 months. And the local host organizations prepare and host public programs on subject matter related to that of the Smithsonian exhibition. And they also curate and produce locally focused companion exhibitions that somehow link the subject matter of the Smithsonian exhibition with their own local or regional culture and history. And that to me is really the most exciting part. And so it's an opportunity for rural Illinoisans and rural Americans to see, you know, really world-class exhibitions from the Smithsonian in their own backyards. But it's also a great opportunity for the local organizations that host these exhibitions to really hone their skills in curating and planning programs and raise their profile within their community, you know, gain new volunteers and just expand their capacities in many different ways.
So we're actually talking about two exhibits here, the national traveling one and then the state companion. This mm-hmm. national one, how scaled down is it from something that you'd see at the Smithsonian in Washington?
Well, it's actually based on an exhibition that that was mounted at the Smithsonian's Museum of American History in Washington, I believe in 2017 or 2018, and is still up there. And this is obviously a very condensed version, but it's still quite substantial, and I think it's very thought-provoking.
When you say quite substantial, is this something where people should devote an afternoon, maybe plan on just an hour or two?
I think you could easily spend most of an afternoon. Voices and Votes is currently at the Madison County Administration Building in Edwardsville, and it's you know, very convenient location right downtown, and it's right on the first floor. So so far many people have made multiple visits and taken in a section or two at a time.
So there's a lot to see there.
There is.
Then on top of that, you have this second exhibit, and this was curated right there in Illinois about Illinois.
Yes, that's right. It's called the Illinois Freedom Project Exhibition, and we're having it tour Illinois in conjunction with Voices and Votes as a complement to it. The Illinois Freedom Project Exhibition explores the history of Black Illinoisans' pursuit of civil rights, the many many obstacles and many struggles, as well as many victories that have taken place, you know, in that regard in Illinois. And you're exactly right. It was created and curated by a couple of excellent public historians from Springfield, Illinois, as kind of an outgrowth of a program that they organized to expose younger people to historic sites related to Black history in Illinois, and some of these narratives that you might not have a chance to learn if you just sort of read a standard textbook, and then this exhibit was produced as an outgrowth of that. It's currently visiting the Wood River Museum and Visitor Center in Wood River, and the idea is that throughout the tour of Voices and Votes, the Illinois Freedom Project exhibit will be displayed either in the same venue or in another venue nearby, to kind of encourage people to take in both.
And the original idea of this was, as you said, to get kids to understand this history. Like, what kind of age range is it targeting in there?
It's really intended for people of all ages. It actually explores some what I think is fair to say is lesser known subject matter. I think probably many Illinoisans, especially many white Illinoisans, aren't aware of the extent to which slavery or something closely resembling slavery, unfortunately was part of the history of our state early on. We typically think of Illinois as a free state, and for the most part it officially was, but there were enormous legal loopholes that enabled people to engage in very, very coercive indentured servitude. It was basically slavery in all but name. And so this exhibition, explores that, and it explores, many, many events and many themes in African-American history in Illinois that are certainly good for young people to know, but that might actually come as a surprise to some adults as well.
I imagine it will come as a surprise to many adults, some of this history here. You mentioned slavery and indentured servitude. That's obviously, some of the heavier topics there. Is there a point of light that you'd point to, a story of something that, here's somebody who triumphed?
Certainly. Well, for one thing, it speaks of the courage of anti-slavery advocates in the first several decades of Illinois' statehood. People based at places like Illinois College in Jacksonville and Knox College in Galesburg, who really courageously advocated against slavery. It profiles Ida Wells, who was one of the founders of the NAACP, which was founded in Springfield, Illinois, in 1908, in part as a response to the Springfield riot, in which many African Americans were attacked. But it tells her story of advocacy for African American education. So yes, certainly there's a lot of uplifting content. And of course, the big question is how much is Abraham Lincoln featured, given that this is a great question.
Illinois. Maybe you can address that for us.
The way that the curators, who are both Lincoln experts, by the way, handled that is. Rather than create yet another exhibition that focuses primarily on Lincoln, what they do is they include a really relevant quotation from Lincoln in each one of the panels. So he's there, but he's sort of in the background.
He is not allowed to overwhelm this exhibit.
Right.
One of the prominent stories that we've discussed recently on this show is Elijah Lovejoy. He was the abolitionist newspaper man, crusaded against slavery. The people of Alton were not happy about that. Is this something that the exhibit at the Wood River Museum gets into? Is that tragic story?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, that story is one of the many reasons why we selected Madison County, as one of the six locations for both Voices and Votes and the Illinois Freedom Project exhibition. One of the recurring themes within Voices and Votes is the relationship between government and journalism in the United States, and the whole question of what are the rights and the responsibilities of journalists and media outlets and so on. And as you just alluded to, Elijah Lovejoy sadly died as he was trying to defend his printing press for his anti-slavery newspaper in Alton in 1837, and he's sometimes described as the first martyr to the freedom of the press in the United States, and someone who was really inspired by Lovejoy was Paul Simon, who began his career as a newspaper publisher in Madison County with the Troy Tribune, used that as a basis for doing some pretty courageous investigative journalism about vice in Madison County and the fact that unfortunately some of it was aided and abetted by some local officials, and so he developed a reputation as a public servant and as a reformer, and that's kind of the platform from which he launched his political career. So Madison County has all kinds of stories that really dovetail with the state level and national level narratives that these exhibitions present.
It seems very well placed that you're hosting this there. We also do want to mention Elijah Lovejoy, the new biography of him that just came out this spring. This is such a terrific read. We're actually going to listen back to our conversation with the author of that biography on tomorrow's show.
Oh, great.
So if you hear a little bit about what Matt has said about Elijah Lovejoy today, you find yourself wanting to know more, we can solve that for you. You just have to tune in tomorrow at noon. Of course, you can also check out the podcast and listen at your convenience. Matt, another component of this that is pretty interesting, these are some field trips that go along with this exhibit. They're called Illinois Freedom Journeys. Tell us about these.
Yes, well, actually, the exhibit was an outgrowth of this program that was organized by Tim Townsend, who's the superintendent of the Lincoln Home National Historic Site in Springfield, and Justin Blanford, who's the superintendent of the state historic sites in Springfield. They recognize that there's a lot of under-recognized African American history in Illinois, and contributions that Illinoisans have made toward civil rights and freedom. And so they organized a series of field trips, for younger folks. The Illinois Freedom Project website includes lots of recommendations of places you can go, many of them not far from here at all, that are real landmarks in not only Illinois African American history, but at the national level. Just a couple of examples would include Brooklyn, Illinois, a small town adjacent to East St. Louis, which is the oldest extant community that was founded by free African Americans prior to the Civil War. And not far from Quincy is New Philadelphia, which also is a really historic that was the site of another one of the first communities organized by free African Americans. And as you alluded to, there are lots of underground railroad sites in Alton and really throughout this region. So there are all kinds of opportunities for experiential learning about African American history on site here.
Hmm. So we've got, in addition to these field trips, we've got these two museum exhibits, the one that comes from the Smithsonian Institution, this one that's more locally focused. How do you see these two complementing each other?
One of the main themes of Voices and Votes Democracy in America is, a persistent theme throughout American history, which is the whole question of who has the opportunity to not only to vote, but also to participate in governmental decision-making, civic decision-making, and so on. Referred to earlier, even though the exhibit really, powerfully makes the case that the American Revolution was a radical step toward, toward freedom and toward egalitarianism, particularly by the standards of the time. Even so, the categories of people who were able to participate in governmental decision making at any level were very small, and they've expanded gradually since then. One of the stories that Voices and Votes tells is how people of other ethnicities, including African Americans, cumulatively through a lot of struggle, gained the right to vote, gained the opportunity to participate in civic decision making, and so on. Then the Illinois Freedom Project really tells a parallel story at the state level.
So among the groups that later had to fight for this right to vote, these were women. I understand there's a live event that's coming up in August that is going to be focused on women's suffrage in Illinois. Do you want to promote that a little bit here? This is August 11th, is that right?
Sure, yes. August 11th, there will be a panel discussion. It's in the Madison County Administration Building boardroom. August 11th, 1 to 3 p.m., two professors from SIU Edwardsville, Brian Jack and Eric Alexander, will discuss the history of women's suffrage in Illinois specifically.
That's great. And so then these two exhibits, these are going to be in this area until August 20th. There's some other nearby stops after this. This was not just the only Illinois stop for this. I believe you said there were six.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other highlights that might be close enough to where we are that people would want to know about them?
Sure. Well, the next place that it will go is Brian Bennett Library in Salem, Illinois, which is not too far away from this coverage area. And I'm really excited about that because it's the first opportunity that we've had to work with that organization or that community, at least in the 8.5 years or so that I've been involved with Illinois Humanities. And they've just embraced it with enormous enthusiasm. And that happens to be the hometown of William Jennings Bryan, who is just such a fascinating figure on so many levels and is so relevant to the whole question of, who gets to participate, whose voices can be heard. So he'll feature really prominently in their activities there in Salem. In November and December, Voices and Votes will be at the Jacksonville Area Museum in Jacksonville, and at the same time, the Illinois Freedom Project exhibit will be at the Old School Museum in Winchester, which is just a really great small town museum, great place to visit. And then the tour will conclude with Voices and Votes at the General John A. Logan Museum in Murfreesboro, and with the Illinois Freedom Project exhibit at the African American Museum of Southern Illinois in Carbondale. And all of those places are within a pretty short drive of here.
So lots of opportunities to see this before March. We want to encourage people to check that out. We've got details on our website, stlpr.org. Matt Meacham, a program manager and director of statewide engagement for Illinois Humanities, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.